The earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. You were a sheep going astray, but now are converted. And other sheep I have, them also I must bring. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the church's Mercy Sunday. The Novus Ordo had it last week, according to the condemned devotion of the Divine Mercy, Sister Faustina. But it was that particular devotion and not the notion that is condemned. How could it be? The earth is full of God's mercies. And how could that ever be condemned? No, as long as Jesus is the Good Shepherd and there are some sheep not yet of this sheepfold, why, them also must I bring with mercy. It's not condemned, nor are we, nor those on that enemies list we've been clicking around, talking about since Easter. We Catholics don't condemn anybody. St. Francis de Sales didn't like it when people talked about the deceased who maybe had a bad death or seemed very far from God as being eternally lost. He said we should never say that about anyone except perhaps those souls so listed in sacred scripture, because you never know, and there'll be some surprises awaiting us in heaven and the power of prayer. In any case, for St. Teresa, and maybe for us, they're not the enemy. This man she first converted, she called her child, that unrepentant murderer. And then there was that very culpable Carmelite priest who apostatized, Loison. She called him her brother. But how do these people get saved? I want to tell you today about the Little Flowers system. One author calls it saving love. It's a love which looks on others as not the bad guys, but exposed, endangered sheep. Sheep wandering near the cliff and destruction, trapped maybe in some briars. And this is the beauty of it. She includes herself in that group, like Father Damien of Molokai, who ministered to the lepers for years and years. And he would usually begin his sermon by saying, "My dear lepers." But one Sunday, he referred to himself, too, as part of we lepers. It's a saving love, a love which is fed and fired by a consideration of the four last things. Do you remember them? Death and judgment, and heaven and hell. These are frightful realities which make so much and so many of the secondary things of life just fade away to nothingness. It is the final destination that matters. We lose that clear vision easily, don't we? Now, whether a given person knows his destination and prepares for it, that's the only question you want to ask if you're working by saving love. And this, too, makes the soul go on to see the Savior. He came to seek and to save what was lost. He's the Good Shepherd. He is looking for his sheep, and he'll continue until he finds them. Now, this is not so as to categorize them and then condemn them, but rather to convert them, to carry them home on his own wounded shoulders. Above all, this kind of love lives by the sight of our crucified Lord. All Lent we had that wonderful photograph of the little flower in the sanctuary. But today I direct your attention to the statue itself, which has been with us right since the very beginning. Did you ever think about, I have never gave it any thought myself until just now, did you ever think about why is it that she carries a crucifix in her hand along with the roses? It's not a pious extra. She's a saint, so some artist decided to give her a cross to carry, because everything in sacred art has a symbolism. Why does she carry the crucifix? It's because all of her conversions are crucifix conversions by the power of the precious blood and the five holy wounds. And the crucifix stands for a strong and a bold, a confident faith in Christ's merits. And it makes us remember what happened there on the cross, Christ's thirst for souls, and how our Lord will answer a prayer made at the cross. Remember me, says the good thief. He answers, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Our Lord once told a very holy Jesuit priest in the 19th century who was praying about the conversion of a certain Jewess who was the mother of the famous Father Hermann, a Carmelite father who converted to Christianity and became a priest. But his mother didn't convert. And this priest wanted to know why our Lord hadn't done anything about this prayer. And our Lord told him after communion, I owe my grace to no man, but I would rather move heaven and earth than deny one sincere prayer that is made to me in the proper way. And as a matter of fact, that woman was indeed converted as she was dying. That's why the crucifix. What about the roses? They're unique to Therese, aren't they? That's a sign, a kind of a consolation, she calls it. And many people still receive the roses or the scent of roses today for the same purpose. So there's the crucifix that stands for confidence, because the cross is the altar of mercy, and it is the magnet of souls. And so as a girl, she prayed, my God, I am sure you are going to forgive this wretched Pranzini, and I have so much confidence in your mercy that I shall go on being sure, even though he does not go to confession or show any sign of being sorry. But because he is my first sinner, please give me just a sign, just to let me know. And what was that sign? Well, the sign was what she's holding. It was the crucifix, remember? The man, long hair, and the executioner had grabbed him by his hair and put him right down under the guillotine, and the blade is about to drop, and he says, Father, your crucifix. And he hurries up to him, and he grabs it, and he kisses it three times. And then it drops, and he's in eternity. That's the same sign as she herself received when she got this. She conceived this great thirst for souls. Remember, she was closing her prayer book after Mass. The holy card falls out. She sees the picture of Christ's hand, the wound, and the blood dropping. And she realizes this thought. His blood is falling to the ground, wasted. And she suddenly wanted to gather it up and to use it to water thirsty souls, to wash sinful souls. Now, the priest she prayed for, he was a different case, the modernist Loison. She saw him as the greatest sinner. Imagine that, a greater sinner even than Judas, the greatest sinner. He had abandoned the faith. He ran off with one of his own converts. He attempted twice to start a modernist church, and he went around France preaching against the Pope and against the Sacred Heart devotion. She told Celine Teristed, "Oh, he's really culpable. He's guilty, more than any other sinner who was ever converted." But this is her boldness. Why can't Jesus do what he has never done before? She offered her last Holy Communion, which was on the feast day of St. Hyacinth, this priest's first name. She offered her last Holy Communion for him. And he too converted. It may be that he went to confession, and that was done privately, and no one ever knew about it. But the only sign that ever appeared in the papers was, again, the crucifix, that he had died kissing the cross and saying, "Mon doux Jésus, oh, my sweet Jesus." What about us? What's our status today? Here there are hardly any valid priests left, and the masses are all gone, and the sacraments almost all. And the good ones that are offered are oftentimes sacrilegious because they're offered one with, in union with, a terrible heretic. And there's so much confusion. And there are so many condemnations everywhere. What should we do? Well, I'll tell you. Turn to the greatest saint of modern times, as Pius X said, not the society, the saint himself. Now, all of her conversions, this is sort of the bottom line, what really matters, all of her conversions come in the spirit of her little way. They're all little. They're hidden. They're veiled. You and I, it's true. Well, I'm obliged to give the sacraments, and you're obliged to receive them, to use them devoutly. That's the ordinary means of salvation. How blessed we are to possess them. But most do not anymore today. Almighty God, for his part, is not bound. His mercy is not limited. So remember, we have baptism, but there is also baptism of desire, the love of God for his own sake, and thus the desire to do his will. And then there's confession to the priest, but then there's the act of perfect contrition that we teach our children each year when they make their first confession. And if you mean what you say, your sins would be forgiven, although the confession obligation, if possible, would remain. Saint Teresa, I think, is our saint. She's the saint for modern times. Her moment of death conversions without any possibility of sacraments, why, that would obtain still today, wouldn't it? For how many souls I will spend my heaven doing good on earth. And yet we're not left just with a pious sort of a thought. There's that element of consolation, the crucifix, the roses. You, each one of you, you've got your work cut out for you. You have souls you need to save, to get them back in the sheepfold by this saving love, by prayer and by penance. Remember, though, her idea of penance was not to placate an angry God by physical pain. Instead, it was to participate in the passion, to share willingly in Christ's sufferings on the cross for souls. I fill up, St. Paul says, what's lacking, what's missing in the sufferings of Christ. In other words, I'm called to be a co-redeemer too, in some little way, but a real way, with our Lord. By prayer, by the crucifix, with great confidence, the earth really is full of the mercies of the Lord. My God, I am sure you are going to save this wretched sinner. And I have so much confidence in your mercy that I shall go on being sure, even though he does not go to confession or show any sign of being sorry, but please, and this is Teresa's specialty, give me just one sign to know. I have read in the Holy Gospel, she wrote, that the divine shepherd leaves in the desert all his faithful flock to go in haste after the sheep that is lost. How touching is this confidence. He is sure of them. They are captives of love. How could they break away? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.